Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, hour two. And in the studio, I got Bubble Boy and CJ. And then online, we have Eric Douglas, author of the latest book, Lionfish. By the way, we spell that lion like your lion, as opposed to L, you know, I-O-N. It'd be L-Y-I-N. Is that right, lion? No. There's not an I.
No, that's
there.
Right.
That is right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
L-Y-I-N apostrophe fish.
Right. Okay. And you can find it on Amazon or go to booksbyeric.com and order that as an ebook or paperback right now as well. And by the way, there is plans to turn that into a Scuba Radio play, not a audio book. We are literally going to take Lionfish and turn it into a full-fledged audio presentation, one of these plays like we do during Christmas time that you might actually be able to follow and understand what happens in this one. We'll see what happens. But we have that in development. Actually, the Scuba Cowboy is talking about writing a song called The Ballad of the Lionfish. So this whole book is just the beginning of a movement that usually have bowel in front of it. But regardless, it's going to be... somebody ate some bad lionfish or something, maybe. I don't know. But it's going to be a fun little thing. And you definitely want to read the book and check it out. Now, Jerry, the diver guy, is with us as well. He's in the mountains of Virginia. Eric's is in West Virginia. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the diving you guys have locally. You can't get down and do the... do the lobster stuff with us quick enough to take advantage of this potential tropical depression to make them walk. However, you do have the east coast of North Carolina there that you guys go to. Is that it?
That is correct.
Yeah. So
there's some beautiful wrecks right off the coast here.
Right off the coast there. And that's how far for, well, it's closer for Eric being in West Virginia. No, wait.
Actually, it's closer for Jerry.
Yeah, it's closer to Virginia. He's in regular Virginia.
East Virginia.
Yes.
Where did you get that crap?
I don't know. I looked at a map one time. So, I don't know. Jerry, do you have any plans to go do some diving? Or maybe you guys ought to join up together?
And, we're trying to get things worked out. We're wanting to hit the wrecks down there and look at some large sand tiger sharks and...
That's what they have. It's a wreck. What is the name of the wreck where, what is it, Odyssey Scuba or
Olympus.
Yeah. Olympus Scuba. Right. Olympus Scuba. I get their newsletter all the time. They run a very popular dive operation in that neck of the woods. But there is a particular wreck that the sand tiger sharks have inhabited off the coast of North Carolina for some time. Am I right?
You can see sand tigers on a lot of the wrecks off North Carolina, but yeah, there's a couple. It's actually what Jerry and I were just talking about. We both think it's the papoose, but there's a couple different wrecks that some really good, beautiful shipwrecks. I mean, that's the amazing thing about the coast of North Carolina is they're not man-made shipwrecks. They're shipwrecks, and so there's a real variety and. Some pretty tremendous diving.
And the ocean is the shark's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would imagine that, I've seen plenty of video of these sand tiger sharks, and the thing about them is they look extremely menacing. They're like the barracuda of the shark family. Are you with me on this?
They look like they're total monsters. They're actually pretty sedate, but they're but they're still, you get 7, 8, 9 foot long sharks in the water.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, you know, maybe it's more of like they're like the English brethren of American sharks. You know, they seem to have some kind of tooth issues with these sand tigers. They're going all different types of directions. There seems to be no rhyme or reason, or they're lacking dental work.
Can you imagine how excited the shark would be to see me laying up on a plate in his house?
Of course. Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to do that necessarily. Actually, in the case of a sand tiger, that just wouldn't even be a factor, because they ignore you, right? They're like barracuda. You know, barracuda are the same exact way. They're very menacing-looking fish underwater, and they'll kind of, you know, sneak up on divers and kind of stalk us a little bit, and they'll watch us. You'll look around your shoulder and like, holy crap, there's a big-ass barracuda there. But they usually maintain a certain distance, and they have a, I don't know if they're curious or they just kind of like hanging around the diver sometimes. But you hear what I'm saying, Eric? You know what I mean?
No, I agree completely.
Yeah, I agree completely. But you hardly ever hear of barracudas bothering divers unless they have food on them, just like any fish would.
Yeah. I mean, you hear all the stories of the don't wear anything shiny and all that. And I assume that's true, but yeah. I've never in my life heard of anybody getting bothered by a barracuda. But you watch them just hovering in the water and you go, That's a serious fish right there.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I've done this. I've had a stare down competition with a barracuda underwater many times. You've done this too, CJ, Bubble Boy?
I've had one follow me.
Yeah.
On my safety stop, and he just kind of, just enough to mess with me.
Right.
Until I got to the ladder, I was like, okay, just kind of keep an eye on him.
Yeah, you keep eye contact, and actually, I've stared them down and kind of went at them, and they have a tendency to back up a certain distance. They'll get an exact distance from you, and they won't get any closer. And that may get somewhat close, depending on what barracuda it is, because, you know, I guess they have different personalities, whatever. But they will maintain a very special distance or a very specific distance. And if you go at them, they will back up 9 times out of 10. Now, I wouldn't recommend everybody doing that, but... I think it's they might be playing with us too. It's like more of a stare down competition than anything else.
They're just trying to figure out what those idiots are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Stay at them oceans, Jesus.
No, don't do that. Don't let intimidation of a barracuda or a sand tiger shark, lack of dental hygiene, keep you out of the water, because you know those two particular types of fish look way more menacing than they are. Even when you look at the stats and stuff, they don't come anywhere close to like bull sharks or anything like that, or even eels, I would imagine, maybe in that regard. Eels probably have more of an incident creating problems for folks underwater than,
especially when you're looking for lobsters.
Well, true. Once again, you're dealing with food, you know, and you're sticking your hand in a crack.
What's in this hole?
And you might not get it back. Yeah, you don't want to do that. I mean, there's a little, common sense goes a long way when it comes to dealing with underwater marine life in that regard. It's just, if you have food or you're cornering them like any animal, it's going to defend itself if it feels trapped. And if if you're dealing with any kind of food source that they generally eat, you're going to be competing for that food source, and they may look at you in that capacity and might want to take you out in the process of going after it. So to me, that's common sense. You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do I got it right, Eric? You've written like articles about this kind of stuff before.
That's one of the other things I do is I write the Lessons for Life column for Scuba Diving Magazine.
Right.
And, every issue I'm writing about dive accidents and people doing dumb things in the water, and I guess the only reply I would make is common sense isn't common. There's a lot of people out there who do things that we all think, oh, that's just common sense, you don't do that.
This little guy is a nut job.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that just, common sense goes out the window sometimes.
Absolutely.
And the reality is, too, when you're talking about lobster diving, that happens a lot. And that's more of a task loading situation, though. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. You know, people, you're focused on getting the lobster. There's just one more, and I've almost got my limit. I want to fill up my bag, and you forget to check your air. You forget to keep an idea of where your boat is. You know, and that's when people get in trouble.
Yeah. Lessons for life. Yeah. So that's an article that Eric writes. And actually, you're getting ready to do a whole bunch of them for the next year or something. Did I see something on Facebook?
I'm already working on the 2016 columns. I've sent them the first couple already and starting to put them together.
There you go. See, he's always writing. That's what good authors do. But once again, pick up Lionfish, available at booksbyeric.com, as well as all his other great books. And, of course, it's available through Amazon. Lionfish, L-Y-I-N apostrophe, fish. Get it. You'll like it. And we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm making 9 knots. I should have been in Fiji in less than a week. Well, the first piece of land I saw wasn't Fiji, was it? No. No, it was here, this island.
Cause no matter where we go, Dominica will always be our home. Some may venture near and far, but when you look up in the sky, you are always gonna be my star. Dominica.
Ah, yes. God bless Dominica. And I don't know, Bubble Boy just pulled up a picture that the KFC was flooded out, which they don't really need that anyway. They love it there locally, though, I will say. You go to all these islands in the Caribbean, and KFC is one of the most popular restaurants.
That was the best KFC I've ever eaten at, Greg.
You know, when you're traveling for a long time outside the States, I will say after a week or so, eating the local cuisine, and then you see a KFC, like, hey, let's go get some chicken. And, you know, you can understand that it'd be nice. Or not. And then you realize why, you know, we don't go there as much. But no, you know, it's chicken. And actually, you know,
it tastes like chicken.
You go to Fiji, I went to KFC and got a hamburger. And you go to McDonald's and you get chicken. I kid you not.
That's not chicken.
Something's a little backwards.
It's never been chicken.
With what we're used to here in the States. But yeah, I don't know, Dominique going through some serious flooding issues and things like that. If it just takes out the KFC, I'll be okay with that. As long as it, you know, doesn't mess up the diving and the infrastructure for the hotels and things like that. And you know, I'm sure they'll bounce back quick. And we'll get
God love you, God keep you, and stay at them oceans.
No. Jesus. You want to dive. Don't let this stuff keep you out of the ocean.
Don't listen to Pooh.
You know, she's part of the meat ministry, but she really doesn't know what she's doing.
She doesn't.
When it comes to diving. We need to reach out to her and maybe take her diving.
Well,
then.
She had some opinions on chickens.
When chickens come in my house, Guess what?
What?
They get ate. Okay. When pigs come in my house, They own the plate.
Well,
so when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up, okay?
Well, okay. And that's not necessarily the truth. She's wrong.
It's one possibility, but by no means the only one.
Spoken like a true non-diver. She really just doesn't know what she's talking about, unfortunately.
Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, no.
I appreciate her passion. And yeah. Jerry the Diver Guy, I believe you do too, don't you? You appreciate Pooh's fashion, but we need to... and that's her name, by the way. I'm not just calling.
You just said you appreciate Pooh.
I appreciate Pooh's passion. Which isn't much better, actually.
Hell yeah!
But anyway, I don't know. We need to reach out to her, and she's probably closer to your neck of the woods there in West Virginia, or Virginia, in the mountains of Virginia, I'm guessing. You think they're Jerry, or what?
I think she's in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
That's what I'm
saying.
They maybe, you know, and you guys kind of speak the same language a little bit there. So maybe we ought to bring you two together.
We may have that hillbillyism going.
Yeah. And maybe we'll make that happen. So, I don't know. We'll see if we can't get convert Pooh, bring her to the light.
Lord Jesus. Oh, God, no.
Yes, we can. Just relax, will you? All right. So, a couple other things that I wanted to throw out there today. I can't believe this, missed my radar. But back when Sharknado was released in July, that reggae shark video. Yeah, have you guys watched Reggae Shark on YouTube?
No.
I have not seen that.
There's a whole series of the adventures of Reggae Shark. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Jerry? Reggae Shark? No?
Actually, I've seen it, but I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it? Okay. The first Reggae Shark came out, and it was a song. And if you just do a Google search on Reggae Shark, it'll pull up all these videos on YouTube, and they're little episodes of this shark that actually has a Rastafarian-type accent. He's... and basically he brings weed to the world and makes everybody happy.
Okay. If everyone's finished being stupid.
Well, it is pretty stupid. I will admit that for sure. But it is,
it's
a cartoon called Reggae Shark. And it's quite amusing, especially the first one. The song is pretty ridiculous.
Oh, we got it.
We've already pulled it up.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that the thing about Reggae Shark in Sharknado, I didn't realize that they did a special edition of Reggae Shark for the release of Sharknado. And basically, it is friggin' hilarious because the Reggae Shark saves the day saves the world from Sharknados by going to Washington, D.C., bringing the weed to Washington, D.C., setting it ablaze, and the smoke gets sucked up into the Sharknado and makes all the sharks happy.
I wouldn't mind coming along on that trip myself.
Well, I'm hip. If you watch it's pretty hilarious because he saves the day because the sharks get all, you know, mellow and don't want to, you know, eat people anymore and fall out of the sky. Yeah, they just kind of, you know, hang out and get the munchies.
So you're saying the shark does all this weed and doesn't get the munchies?
No, he does get the munchies, but he's calm about it. Like, hey, dude, let's go, man. Hey, I won't eat you. I might fall on you accidentally if I fall out of the sky, but I don't know. You got to go watch it. Reggae Shark.
Yeah.
When I was talking about bringing this story to the show today, I wasn't smoking, but I think I had a drink or two, so I apologize. So anyway, that's That's one little tidbit I wanted to share with you today. The other one was one CJ brought to the story or
what?
Brought to the table.
What I do?
It took me till now to get to it. Was about the alien octopus DNA.
What?
That story.
Oh, I did send you that.
Yeah. So
you're welcome.
Do you even remember the story?
I do.
Okay, explain. You don't. Don't lie.
Scientists
he was hanging
have,
out the regular
shark. Scientists have looked at DNA of octopus and said it's unlike any other organism on this planet.
Yeah. So they're
it's unique to octopi.
So they're inferring that
they're basically
octopus,
saying octopus are in a way aliens.
What do you
to
mean
our
in a way?
Planet?
They are aliens because they have a different makeup than any other species on the planet. And it's drastically different. It's like you took something and just took all the DNA and just swirled it up into a big gooey mess.
Yes,
and
that's one way to put it.
Yeah, and therefore they think that maybe, or they're inferring that maybe octopus are from another planet. You think?
You never know.
It could happen. Would you buy? I mean, I'll tell you. They when you look at octopus,
if one was frozen in a meteor,
yeah,
and landed in the ocean and thawed out. Then that could have been the first octopus.
Maybe.
I think I might have been visited by the reggae shark.
Well, that's...
That was insane.
Yeah. Well, you've been visited by the reggae shark?
I don't know.
Shut up!
Yeah. Yeah, you probably should. I don't think he's been smoking, but... There is does seem to be a cocktail floating around the studio
this
here.
This is iced coffee.
Oh, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Aliens in the form of octopus. It could happen.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ and Bubble Boy in the studio with me, as well as Jerry the Diver Guy on via the web. And octopus are from another planet, according to this story that CJ found. And I guess it just proves that the Simpsons had it right, because the aliens in the TV show The Simpsons are octopus.
Kinda.
What do you mean, kinda? They do. They drool all the time. They're in their spaceships, and they have, like, eight legs like an octopus. They had obviously done their research. You don't buy that?
No.
Why?
Because all the people are jaundiced on The Simpsons. They're all yellow.
That's true, but that's a dietary problem,
some
I believe.
Liver, their liver. Yeah. It's their liver.
Yeah, could be. Too much drinking, right. Or maybe their DNA is just weird. That
no, but
way.
I remember what it was about their DNA.
Yeah, what?
I'm just paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Which will surprise no one.
Really?
When you hear what's about to fly out of my mouth.
Okay.
Every other organism, I guess when they map their DNA, everything has its own order.
Right.
And specific place of where it is.
Okay.
On the double helix. Octopus all over the place.
Hmm. I think it proves it. I think
all their protein receptors and all their building blocks, everything. There's no order. It's just jumbled mess.
You know,
everywhere.
I will tell you though, if we were to find life on another planet, that would kind of creep me out if they all look like octopus. Though, wouldn't that be a bit of intimidating?
Yeah, you should have left me alone on that night dive when I was trying to sleep under that coral. You kept shining the light in my face.
What are you talking about? Why?
That's what the octopus would say to you.
Oh, I thought you were like, when did I do that to CJ?
No. I recall one time in the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah. Well, I was just reaching out.
No, it was cool. You filmed it. And
yeah.
But
yeah.
He was trying to sleep.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah.
No, the octopus don't sleep at night. They hunt.
Well, this one was chilled out under a ledge.
I think he was getting ready to eat you. He's an alien. That's what they do.
He was swimming away from me, not towards me.
They come after your brains. Yeah,
that's a tiny snack.
More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Octopus are probably aliens, and I'll tell you, they are some of the coolest critters to see in the underwater world, for sure. And as divers, we have that luxury to witness them up close and personal sometimes, especially on a night dive. Now, I would imagine, Jerry the Diver Guy, you've been out in the water and seen a lot of octopus. Am I right? Do you think?
I've seen several.
Several. Okay. So
I actually had one shoot the ink out on me.
Really? You were inked by an octopus?
Yeah, a little bitty cloud come out.
Now, wait a minute. It was. Now, hold on. Octopus don't ink, I don't believe.
That's squid.
Yes, they do.
It was something that come out.
No, a squid ink.
Black.
Dude, look that up.
Puff come out.
Poonami. Lord Jesus. Oh, God, no.
Poonami.
It was a poonami. You got poonami'd by an octopus. Now, look that up, Bubble Boy. I didn't think octopus could ink. I think that's squid.
That's a good question.
But are you sure it was an octopus that inked you? I'm not. I don't know this 100%.
We were in Key Largo on Molasses Reef.
Yeah,
and the little bitty octopus come out, and you know we were admiring it.
Yeah,
and I went in to try to take a picture of it.
Right,
and it started jetting off, and as soon as it jetted off, a little bitty black puff come out the back, and I was like, so cool, and I did not get the picture.
That was probably
I just scared the poo out of it.
Exactly. That might have been poo. That might not have been ink.
Damn!
Just saying. I don't know technically. What does the scientific community say?
According to Wikipedia, an ink sac is an anatomical feature that is found in many cephalopod mollusks used to produce the defensive cephalopod ink. So, yes, they do.
All right. So, cephalopods is part of the octopus family.
Squid, octopus, cuttlefish.
No, wait a minute. But CJ, I thought you were telling me from that article that the octopus and the cuttlefish and the squid don't belong to the same DNA family, according to that article. Do you remember that?
I did not say that.
You did not say that. That was something that I. Those are I words said they that were I put aliens. In your mouth. Okay. Well, at least we got that much.
Where did you get that crap?
I don't know. I thought you said it. You know, but maybe
Google octopus ink. There are several pictures of it.
Okay, so they've been octopus.
I believe Jerry.
Well, now you do.
I can't believe you're calling him a liar.
No, I wasn't calling him a liar.
That is not cool.
No, I was just saying I wasn't sure. I just didn't think octopus could ink, but evidently they can. So, all right. So I wonder if the DNA issue applies to alien DNA issue applies to squid. And other mollusks like cuttlefish and things like that too, because they probably are part of the same family. They're just as alien looking. They're kind of creepy looking. They're very, I'll tell you, squid in particular. Well, octopus for that matter, extremely intelligent. And there's a lot of videos on YouTube where you see octopus in particular crawling through one tight space and getting into another that you think there's no way they possibly could do this, or crawling around on a boat. And getting off of a boat.
Yeah, they said they are unique for their problem-solving abilities.
Yes.
And they're very clever.
And when you watch squid, in particular, underwater as a diver, you really do think there's something going on because they have the big eyes. You know, they're kind of translucent and kind of alien-looking type things. But you can get up close to these squid sometimes, or a school of them, and they fly in formation usually underwater. And they will, if you get close to them enough, or if they'll let you get close to them, they will eye you down and look at you, and then they'll change colors and things like that depending on, you know, what kind of mode they're in.
That happened to me in Dominica.
Yeah?
It's Dominica.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Two cephalopods, two cuttlefish came up to me and they eyed me.
They eyed you.
And they started shimmering back and forth. It was really cool.
Now, was that on your way where you saw the brown trout and the...
No. This is when we were by Champagne Reef.
Okay. All right. So that was in the waters of Dominica. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's kind of like in certain encounters with mammals, underwater mammals like dolphins and whales. I kind of get that same vibe with squid. I don't know. Jerry, you're a diver. You've done this. Do you get that vibe, too, or you think that's just me? What do you think?
I believe it's just you.
All right, so you don't think there's much going on with a squid when they're eye? Maybe it's just the eyes, because they have the bigger eyes for their, you know, for their body. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they will. They're
aliens.
A unique creature. I mean,
yeah,
they will give you the heebie-jeebies, but, you know, they that big eye on it.
Yeah.
Will star you down, that's for sure.
Right. And maybe that's what it is. It's just the eye. Because the eye is abnormally large.
But it is so cool to watch them change color.
Oh, it is. And that is very alien. I mean, you look at that. When you see them underwater and you see them change color drastically, whether it's an octopus, a cuttlefish, or a squid, I mean, it's pretty freaky. It is very alien.
I think they're from Uranus.
What in the hell's the matter with you?
Too long to explain that one. But, yeah, you know, the thing is, it does make for a fun encounter because they are some of the coolest critters you can see as a dive or as a diver when you're in the underwater environment, for sure. I mean, I love, you know, I never got bored of watching an octopus, cuttlefish, or squid for that matter. You know what I mean?
And they're delicious.
I'm not really a fan.
No, you don't like calamari?
Nah, not that much. Not really. You like Jerry the Diver Guy, like calamari.
Oh, I like calamari.
You do like calamari.
I love it.
Yeah, even if you feel guilty about eating, eating octopus like that or no? Not at all? Neither? None of you guys?
No.
Now, the calamari, that is the octopus legs, right? Or am I thinking?
I think it's squid.
It's squid.
It's squid legs.
Oh, it's squid legs?
Oh, forget squids. They deserve what they get.
Well, exactly. I don't care about the squid then. No, it's really, I do, I would feel a little guilty about eating an octopus now, though. It's almost like grouper. I don't like eating grouper because grouper are very friendly fish for divers when we're out on the reef, especially if they've become accustomed to seeing the divers in the area on a dive site. They're like little puppy dogs.
Yeah, you feel kind of guilty.
Yeah, and nice, I kind of feel that way about an octopus.
Sandwich.
Yeah, now the squid, I don't know. There's so many of the squid that I don't know if I'd feel guilty about the squid. And that'd be calamari, right? But if octopus, I would feel a little guilty about the octopus. And the cuttlefish, but I don't even, do they eat cuttlefish? Surely the Japanese do, but
they eat everything.
Yeah, but...
ooh, that's good!
Well, maybe, but I've never heard of cuttlefish being on a menu. Maybe they call it something else.
But they're so small, I mean...
Well, no, cuttlefish can be huge. They can be size of a football.
Oh, the two I saw were small.
Yeah. No, cuttlefish are kind of big squid, actually. You're probably getting them confused with something else.
I've seen some small ones.
Well, I mean, it's like anything. There's small ones and there's big ones, you know. But I've seen them as big as, as a football, for sure, for a cuttlefish. And when they get that big, they're kind of cool and freaky looking. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to eat them either because they're kind of fun to watch and interact with when you're underwater as well. But octopus definitely falls into the same category as a grouper. I wouldn't want to eat an octopus after seeing the encounters I've had, and especially, you know, on night dives. I didn't have this happen to me personally, but I did hear the story preparing for a night dive in the Caymans one time where they warned everybody on the boat that, hey, we have some very friendly octopus here. And it's not uncommon for them to find warm spaces and want to cuddle up with you.
Let's get naked.
And they encouraged the guys in particular not to. They say, you know, those loose-fitting,
board shorts.
Board shorts you're wearing? Not a good plan.
That's not an eel!
Yep. And they've had an incident or two where... you know, the guys went diving on a night dive, and the octopus got a little too close and personal.
Say, is that an octopus friendly in your shorts, or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah. Took a visit to his nether regions, and next thing you know, he comes back up on the dive deck of the boat, and he's screaming hysterically. Yeah. And he evidently came away unscathed, but he was pretty freaked out. And they have those little suckers.
Yeah, and with hooks in them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think these octopus had this hook so much. They were smaller, thank God for him. But he did. They did leave a little mark, I guess.
Like hickeys.
Yeah, exactly.
And his wife's going, yeah, sure. Yes. The octopus.
I'm going to fall for that one.
Not again. Not the old octopus story.
Well, now you can use our story. This is a legitimate story. It actually has happened. And just be aware of that. You know, if you're going on a night dive and there's known octopus in the area that are a little bit more friendly than other places of the world. And the Caymans, this is Cayman Brac, so just be prepared if you head to that part of the world and encounter one of these alien suckers.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Matt. Please keep listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This baby's gonna put me through college.
You're way off. I say you're way off this time, son.
And now, here's my dad, Greg the Dive Master.
Wow. You know, the truth of the matter is that Max is actually in college now. That really is Max, CJ.
Wow.
How about that?
Max is a big guy now.
He is. He's actually...
He's a fine young man.
Just started his sophomore year in college.
Wow.
So it really is work... Well, actually, no. It's not really putting him through college. But it's giving me something to do while he goes to college.
There you go.
How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my son, Max. And good luck to him and Haley both.
He doesn't sound like that at all.
What do you mean?
Anymore.
Yeah, he does.
He does?
Yeah. That's how he sounds to me every time he talks. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Look, a couple things we got to get out there. I just got word before the show today that The Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, October 3rd with Explore Ventures, still has a few spots left. So you got, you know, this we're down to the wire. You need to book it now. Scuba Pro is on board. Renee is going to be representing Scuba Pro and bringing some goodies for everybody on the boat and giving some cool little demos of the latest Scuba Pro dive gear. Catherine Castle from Dive Training Magazine is going to be on board to give you some tips on how to get published as a writer or a photographer in a dive magazine like Dive Training. And she's a treat. She is going to be so much fun. And, of course, we have the Scuba Cowboy and Mermaid Tiffany going to be on board as well as doing the show from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Live Aboard. As well. So you will want to come on this trip. If you've ever wanted to do a live aboard dive trip, this is the one to participate in, trust me, because not only will you have the dive adventure of a lifetime, we throw in all this extra stuff on top of the fun and frolic that you would get on a typical trip with Explorer Ventures and just makes it that much better.
They're so awesome. I've been on one, been lucky enough to have been on one of those.
Yeah.
Turks and Caicos,
right?
Explore Ventures,
mm-hmm.
And I sometimes just daydream about it.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, I need
you just go back to scubaradio.com and watch the video in the video section.
I don't even have to do that; it's all in my head.
Yeah, yeah. See, we got to get Jerry the Diver Guy out on one of these. I know you're working towards trying to make that happen, right, Jerry? Isn't that the deal?
I'm trying, but you know, it's hard to swing things when you teach all the time and run your business. But
yeah.
I mean, it's hard, but
you let life get in the way of having fun, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta take the plunge. You do.
Well, let's go get drunk.
No, well, actually, alcohol is included,
yes.
So that does happen sometimes on these particular
if
trips.
If you're not doing a night dive or after the night dive.
Yeah. If you're not out doing a night dive looking for aliens, and I mean octopus, that could be... I may try to explore this a little bit more. When I see an octopus, you might want to look at these encounters as more of a, you know, introduction to, you know, alien life forms.
Close encounters of the third kind.
If you went down underwater and you see an alien...
Telepathy. You could just think to him, speak to me.
So, Greg, you've dove in the Pacific, right?
I have dived in the Pacific, yes.
So, have you seen the Humboldt squid?
I have seen the Humboldt squid. I have not seen them underwater on a dive. And I think I see where you're going with.
So just on pictures, like the rest of us.
Well, exactly, the videos. And the Humboldt squid, are not very friendly. They're kind of like those alien life forms that are here to take over the world and, eat us, that kind of thing. Is that what you're getting at there, Jerry?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, well, those things are like 150 pounds. These Humboldt squid are huge. And yeah, when they get that big, and I mean, these things, they travel in packs like wolves underwater.
Lord Jesus, oh God, no.
Yeah, I mean, forget the sharks. The Humboldt squid do worry me. I will say that if I were diving in an area where I knew there were Humboldt squid, I'm not so sure I'd be diving. Because I've heard some pretty hairy stories, and I assume you have too, Jerry. You have never seen them underwater, but you've seen these videos as well.
But I have heard stories.
And what stories have you heard or hear?
Those beaks take out chunks of flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Those big Humboldt squiddies,
right?
They usually stay really deep, right?
No.
They don't?
No.
No, there's certain parts of the world where they actually come up to the surface to feed. And I think it's a seasonal kind of thing. They fish them.
They come up to the surface at night a lot, don't they?
Well, I think they do at night, but I think there's certain times of the year where they come up to the surface at all times of the day as well, because they fish these Humboldt squid. I mean, it's calamari. I mean,
so what do the squid normally eat?
People. No. That's a good question. I'm not sure. They obviously, they're meat eaters, or at least Humboldt squid are, I assume, so they must eat other fish and critters like that. Wouldn't you think, Jerry? Yeah?
I think that, yes.
Well, you know, there's a guy.
Anything.
We've had him on the show before. There's a guy who does specialty diving with Humboldt squid, and he basically outfits himself in divers and Kevlar wetsuits. I mean, he looks like a stormtrooper. And he dangles from a wire underneath the boat. And the Humboldt squid basically come and attack him. And that's the dive. Yeah. I'm not so sure he would be doing that if he realized they had the DNA of aliens.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, but they look.
Each is their own.
True. Exactly. Everybody has common sense. It's just to what degree and how far you want to push it in that
regard. It's how they use it.
Yes, exactly. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we get lucky down in the muck under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.